All right, welcome in. Second hour, Robbie and Rex, 102.5-106.3. The game. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Yo, Rex Short here. Robbie is sick today. Nick Keys are producing, intern Robert. And we're happy to welcome in our weekly guest here on Friday. We're gonna go a little bit longer here today with our buddy Stilly, Jared Stillman. So Jared, at this point, let's see. Have you asked me yesterday about trading for Bryce Young? Is that where we are? Or is this your solution for the Titans' issues now? Is it trade Will Levis for Bryce Young? Like, where are you on fixing the Titans?
Boy, I tell you, man, you really, really are awkward at mic one. I got to tell you, man, like, it's like,
I feel pretty good right now.
I'm sitting here like, oh, well, we got coming up, and all right, so here's what happened. So yesterday I woke up, and I was listening to my favorite program, Robbie and Retro, and as I was listening to my favorite program, I was looking at kind of what the headlines were. And I saw that Adam Schefter reported that the Panthers aren't interested in trading Bryce Young, which you know as well as I do. Whenever somebody says they're not interested in trading somebody, there's a pretty good chance they're actually interested in trading them. I mean, remember Barry Trotz said they weren't going to trade Yaroslav Askarov, and then next thing you know, they traded him. So I was just kind of thinking in my head, I was like, is that like a topic worth doing on the radio? Like, if this were the offseason, because like right now, like if you were to call Carolina and offer Will Levis for Bryce Young, if you were to do that, like, you know, you'd be pulling the plug on your season, and Bryce Young doesn't know your offense, and he'd have to come in and he'd have to learn it, and he'd, you know, all that kind of. But I was like, is that a topic worth talking about on the radio? And I ended up deciding it was not. But this guy called in yesterday. Because I don't know if you saw the outrage surrounding the Brian Callahan freak out of Will Levis, which I mean, I had the exact same reaction in the stadium when Will Levis rolled the ball on the ground to Tajay Spears. And what doesn't get talked about enough, too, is Tajay Spears' half-ass effort in order to get the ball. But, again, I digress. So I was kind of like a Carolina fan called in being like, I'm glad that Brian Callahan you know, held him accountable here in Carolina, Dave Canales, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of cut the caller off and was like, we don't care about the Carolina Panthers. But then I just kind of brought up that thought that I had earlier in the day about, you know, if this were the offseason, like if this were March 10th, would you trade Will Levis for Bryce Young? Because coming out, I mean, I definitely thought Bryce Young was a better prospect than Will Levis. And even though I clearly don't think that Bryce Young is what, I mean, I thought he was going to be. I haven't really watched him, so it's hard for me to be able to judge that. But he certainly hasn't performed at the level that a lot of people, including you, who wanted to trade everything for him.
Sure.
That he hasn't played at that level yet. But that doesn't mean that it's all on him and it's not Carolina's fault, given Baker and Darnold and the things those guys are doing post-David Tepper. So I was like, you know, would you do this? Would you just, you know, if Carolina called and said, hey, we want out of this. Like, we'll do it for Levis. Where you're not giving up any future draft picks. You're not giving up any. We'll do it for Levis. And then you get Bryce Young, and it's kind of like when the 49ers acquired Garoppolo. And it was in the middle of the year, and they were like, all right, we got seven games to see what we got in Jimmy, see if he's the guy or not. And they ended up going forward with it. Would you do it? And I was stunned at the amount of Titan fans that said no. The amount of Titan fans that were like, no, he's too small. No, he stinks. No, he's.
Yeah. It's been bad. Yeah, it's been bad with him. So, no.
But it's been good with Levis?
No, I'm not saying that. I think it would have been overwhelmingly no before the season started, before the Titans started playing football. Let me ask you this. If C.J. Stroud was drafted by the Panthers, if they drafted him instead of Bryce Young, what would we be saying about C.J. Stroud right now?
I believe that C.J. Stroud would still stink if he went to the Panthers.
Stink? He doesn't stink.
I'm just talking about the Panthers quarterback would stink.
Yeah.
Like, the Panthers quarterback would still stink no matter what. I am a huge nurture guy versus the nature of these quarterbacks. I think some guys, like, I think Peyton Manning and Joe Burrow are kind of, they're the unicorns from the standpoint that they can take a bad organization and they can take Jim Mora Sr. as the coach and turn it around. That doesn't happen very often. I think that if we were to really go back and look at this, and we were to go year by year, and I'd love to do this with like a former general manager who has their boards, you know, or still has kind of a memory of how they rank these guys. Because, I mean, like, I'll tell you right now, I think Mahomes, I think if the Jets had Geno Smith and they picked sixth in that draft where the Titans took Corey Davis, they took Jamal Adams. If the Jets realized that Geno Smith stunk and that Mahomes was the guy and they drafted Mahomes six, I don't think there's a chance in the world Mahomes is as good as he is.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to cut you off. I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily, but you're saying that Joe Burrow would be situation proof and Mahomes wouldn't be? Jared, let's remember that Andy Reid, I think he's been a great thing for Mahomes. They've been great together.
And Tyreek and Kelsey.
Sure.
And remember what his line was when he got there. He had the former number one overall draft choice at left tackle. He had Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle. They had a veteran offensive line when Mahomes got there.
Fine, Jared. But Mahomes is as situation proof as anyone in this league. And I'm not saying anybody is 100%. I'm not saying Peyton Manning. I'm not saying Joe Burrow. I'm not saying anybody is. I mean, Tom Brady, in most scenarios of his NFL career, just because of what he was as a prospect, we don't even get to see him. You know, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. But Mahomes is as situation proof as him. Come on.
Situation proof?
Situation proof. Absolutely. No, again, I'm not saying anybody is 100%, but for you to say Joe Burrow, but Mahomes is Andy Reid, I mean, my God, man.
Joe Burrow won a national title with Ed Orgeron as his coach.
Did you see who he was playing with and who his OC was? It was the best offense I've ever seen in college football. He's part of that.
Joe Brady keeps getting fired in the NFL.
But in that moment in college football.
That great Joe Brady.
In that moment in college football, he was outstanding.
So I've got two choices as to who give credit to. Joe Burrow or Joe Brady? You want to give it to Joe Brady?
I'm telling you that Joe Brady's offense with that talent was excellent. And Ed Orgeron, the idea that you're gonna give Burrow more points because Orgeron collected talent and showed up at the and he, all right guys, let's go. But Joe Brady was a good college offense coordinator for that season. Absolutely, Joe Brady had a very good. Lots of guys, like coaches, have runs right, and then they'll go. Maybe they'll go to the NFL and it doesn't work out or whatever. Or stuff they were. I mean, Chip Kelly at one point was a genius in football. He was doing things people couldn't deal with, right? And then eventually it's like,
there's nothing innovative about Ed Orgeron.
No, I'm not saying there is, but Brady, I'm saying there was. He was a good OC at the time. Also, the talent level on that team, I mean, come on.
Ed Orgeron,
they had everything.
Yeah, but the team's
Joe Burrow's great. Don't get me wrong. Joe Burrow's great.
That Clemson team that they beat in the national title game also had a lot of talent. That Alabama team that they beat in Tuscaloosa also had a lot of talent.
Right.
It's not as if that LSU team's one of the best teams I've ever seen. Like, in my lifetime, it's up there with the Hurricanes in the 2000s. But I would still say, like, Ed Orgeron told a story on Colin Cowherd's podcast, and he said that when Joe Burrow came on a recruiting visit, Joe went up to him and said, he come up to me and say, I don't want to do recruiting stuff. I just want to eat crawfish and talk football. And that they had like a meeting or whatever with all the coaches, and they were watching film on his recruiting visit. And Ed Orgeron said it took 5 minutes to realize who the smartest guy in the room was, and it was Joe. And so I look at Joe, and I'm like, he went to LSU, which was kind of a middling program, losing to Troy, and he turns things around there. They win the national title. He goes to the NFL, goes to the worst franchise in the league, not just the team that was picking first that year, but historically horrendous franchise, and immediately in 2 years turns it around. And it's like,
and
to
so
me, that's
so do you
special.
Think do you think the coaches deserve any credit? Do you think that the receivers around him deserve any credit, or he just took a complete? I understand how bad they were, but you're saying he just dragged a sad sack group along with him.
Think about how much we complain about the offensive line here, about how nobody could be good, but he had that line and got to the Super Bowl. So, again,
my
whole point is, and like, yeah, of course, it's more than a one-man game, but there are some quarterbacks that they're good no matter who the coach is. Elway would have been good no matter who the coach is, which is why, you know, he could win, not Super Bowls, but he could win with Dan Reeves, and he could win with Wade Phillips, and he could win with
those
some
are
of these.
Both good coaches, but okay.
Wade Phillips is not a good coach, Joe.
Wade Phillips is a great defensive coordinator. Not a great head coach. Dan Reeves is a very good head coach. Come on.
Again, Elway can win with anybody, And some of those guys are just that way. And so I do believe that there are some quarterbacks who are situation proof. I think Burrow's track record and resume shows it. But if you listen to Rick Spielman, the old Vikings general manager, he put his list together before the 2023 draft of where the prospects ranked coming out. And he had Mahomes and Josh Allen below a lot of the other guys who had come out, whether it was Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence or whomever. And his whole point was both guys had serious issues and flaws in their games. And the coaching staffs that they went to worked with those guys to work on those flaws and to make them better quarterbacks. And so I do believe that, again, if Mahomes, as raw as he was, if he had gone to a dumb organization, I think they could have ruined Mahomes. They probably would have ruined Mahomes. And I do think, I don't think Mahomes is situation proof.
Yeah.
I don't.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're a little too reliant on Rick Spielman. So I just want to make sure that then we have this on the record. So same exact situation, whatever it is, great, bad, medium, whatever it is, the same exact situation, you have a team, you are taking Joe Burrow over Patrick Mahomes.
Well, like...
No. That's what you've been saying. Hold on.
Coming out of the draft?
Well...
Or like right now?
Okay, right now.
Well, right now I would take Mahomes.
Okay.
But again, Mahomes is a developed product
now. Yeah, okay, yeah.
That again, like, I think we can both
agree. I mean, those guys get credit, and that's fine. But like, like Mahomes wasn't coming out of the NFL as a high-level NFL prospect. He absolutely was. He just wasn't QB1. I mean, he's still... What in the top 10 of the draft? I mean, like...
Right. Yeah. But again, like, you're saying, like, right now. Mahomes is a finished product right now.
Okay.
And the finished product, because he's had Andy Reid...
So Mahomes got developed by the guy who at the time in the NFL was like, oh, this guy can't win the big one. You got to get him out of here after they lose the Titans in the playoffs. And Burrow, no credit to Zach Taylor, Brian Callahan, any of those guys. Burrow just did it on his own. He's self-made.
Well, I mean, Andy Reid was playing in home playoff games before Mahomes got there. Where was Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan before Joe Burrow got there?
Well, they were young coaches. What, like, they're like 20 years younger
than
Andy Reid.
15. Again, my point is this: I think that this league kills more quarterbacks than it creates. I think I think if you put Baker Mayfield, if he had been drafted to the right situation in 2018 and not to the moronic owner in Cleveland with Hugh Jackson as his coach in that nightmare of a franchise, and then after a year of showing that he had some talent, that they went out there and decided, okay, Baker, we're getting Odell, we're getting Jarvis Landry, we're going to the Super Bowl. If they had been with an organization that had their head on their shoulders, then Baker Mayfield would be a successful quarterback for the Cleveland Browns, and they wouldn't be paying Deshaun Watson $230 million to embarrass him every Sunday. But again, he went to a bad organization. And then after he was in the bad organization, Cleveland, and they gave up on him because he got hurt, he went to another bad organization, Carolina, and he was terrible. And then he went to Tampa, which is not as bad as those organizations, and he's been successful. And again, I think this league kills more quarterbacks than they create. And that's kind of like right now, I watch Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson. Did you watch the game, the Packers-Colts game? Like, did you watch like the
Kickets
game?
I'm a little bit, but not a little bit.
I mean, the game planning, your colleagues at The Athletic wrote a story. I thought the defensive game plan was atrocious to just let, you know, Green Bay run the ball 50 times and never bring anybody into the box. But they wrote a story about how atrocious the offensive play calling was in that game to bench Jonathan Taylor in the fourth quarter when Jonathan Taylor had over 100 yards on 12 carries. And they're asking Anthony Richardson at 22 years old, five starts into the league, to throw it 35 times. It's like, what are we doing here? It's the same group that's calling QB sweeps for Richardson and, you know, get his arm ripped off. So I do believe that naturing and nurturing, I think that it's a big deal in this league as far as nurturing quarterbacks. And I think Carolina is a disaster. And so I'm willing to take the chance that it's Carolina's fault that Bryce Young stinks, as opposed to it being Bryce Young's fault that Bryce Young stinks.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said. I'll take Mahomes over everybody in this league, period. But
it's easy to say that now.
Okay. All right, when we come back, we'll get more deeply into specifically the Titans with Jared Stillman. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 106 through the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexard, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rexard here on microphone one, which Stilly says I'm bad at. In for Robbie Stanley, sick today. Jared's going to do a little extra time with us. All right, so Jared, first of all, let me go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. I got Robert saying, Jared is a master of backpedaling. I don't think I've ever heard anybody do it better, LOL.
What a backpedal on. You said that Mahomes is more situational proof than Joe Burrow. I didn't back down off of that.
I'm just reading what the people are saying, huh? Okay.
If Joe Burrow had gone to Carolina, I think Joe Burrow would have won. If Mahomes had gone to the Jets, I think we'd be looking at Mahomes the same way we look at Mark Sanchez and those other guys that bust out.
Yeah. Again, you're a little – Joe Burrow's a fantastic player. You're a little bit overboard with the Burrow stuff. You know, Burrow was discarded at Ohio State, and he got with Brady. You can rip Brady. I understand it hasn't gone well for him since then. It was a great partnership with incredible talent around him, and Joe Burrow is not situation-proof. GP
yes,
Rob.
Yes, he is.
Okay. No, he's
yes,
not.
Yes, he is.
All right. Hold
everywhere
on.
Everywhere he's played, he's won.
Except Ohio State when he couldn't get on the field.
He didn't play. He's won everywhere else.
Right. Well, you know.
That's like arguing Brady didn't play early on in his career at Michigan.
It's wild that he lost to the Patriots 2 weeks ago. It's not like it's been all great there. GP Rob says, love both your shows. They're awesome. But Jared with the L on this argument. Alex from Montreal wonders if you're going to let anyone else talk. But it's fine. So let's get into the Titans, Jared. Will Levis, I mean, we sort of had the fun conversation. Some people are mad about that we're talking about Levis for Bryce Young. I mean, that's just it's an interesting hypothetical to me right now because Bryce Young has been ruined, in my estimation, by the Carolina Panthers. I agree with you. I mean, he's been ruined. I don't know what he would have been. I'd love to see him in a situation, and the thing is, I don't know what he'll be now. And so that would be my hesitation is when a guy gets sacked 62 times in his first year and just – playing in that organization has to be horrible given the ownership. You know, what does that mean for him moving forward? Some guys can't come back from that. But Will Levis, your pessimism on Will Levis at this point, how much has it increased through two games?
It's increased a lot. I mean, I kind of felt like I was open to the possibility that Levis could be great, and I was also aware of the reality that a lot of these quarterbacks end up failing for one reason or another. Like, if I had to bet my house going into the year, you asked PK and TD in July, you know, if you had to bet your house if Levis was the guy. And remember, Paul was like, I don't do that. And I would have bet no, just because, you know, statistically speaking, the likelihood is that he wouldn't have. But I could have seen this going either way. And I kept going back to a throw he made against the Texans last year, the JV Texans in the Oiler game, where he ran to the side and DeAndre was double covered and Burks ran free and he threw it to DeAndre and it got intercepted. And I'm like, you know, if the game slows down for him next year, you'll see him recognize what's going on and take that extra second knowing that it's okay. And then he's going to see what develops and throw the ball to Burks for a touchdown. And instead, he hasn't made any improvement in that area, and that's incredibly discouraging. And now, I mean, Levis is up there talking about rewiring his brain, and now he's talking about, I've got to be aware of when to take care of the football. I'm like, you need to be taking care of the football on every play, but what you also can't do is go to the line and be thinking, don't throw a pick, don't throw a pick, don't throw a pick, don't throw a pick. That's going to be a problem. Blake Bedingfield, I think, really broke down Levis's issues, which is at PK's website, which is he's waiting for guys to come open and then he's throwing the ball as opposed to throwing guys open, which was a problem Tannehill had at the end. So I am incredibly pessimistic, and I've always said, and I mean, look, I'm not calling Will Levis the guy dumb, but Will Levis the football player is dumb. And the old saying is dumb guys stay dumb. So, I mean, I think, you know, to change that at 25 years old after an offseason in the NFL, I don't think it's very likely. So I don't expect anything comically stupid this week. But as far as Levis becoming a star quarterback, I think there's almost no chance of that happening.
So, you know, you brought up the pick last year, and, you know, he had a couple certainly, you know, bad plays. You know, he had a bad play or two, I think, in that Bucs game, right?
Pittsburgh.
But you know, the two things that we saw, one in each of the first 2 weeks, I didn't see last year, right? So I guess what I'm saying is these two plays still, to me, are, granted, it's still a small sample size, but they are outliers even for him, no? Would you agree with that? Like, you're going to expect some bad pick up. You threw into double coverage. You read it wrong, whatever. Like, these two plays, it's not like we saw that ever last year. I don't recall one where it's like, oh, my God, what are you doing?
So he had a ball like that at Tampa, which it didn't look as stupid because he aired it out down the field. But, I mean, it was basically an arm punt. And I think either the receiver broke it up or there was like a – it was kind of like he threw a Hail Mary in the fourth quarter when the game started to get out of hand. And at that point, Tim Kelly just immediately changed the play calling. Like, everything was like bubble screens, and they were down by, I think, two scores in the fourth quarter, and they're throwing bubble screens to Kyle Phillips. And that was when I noticed that, like, Levis had this kind of, like, when the game started to get out of hand vibe to him, where it was like, I got to make a play. And Tim Kelly obviously recognized it from the Pittsburgh game the week before and was like, no, we're not doing that. So there were little hints of it as far as, like, categorically stupid. No, but we did see the issue with the sliding. You know, Mike Vrabel's telling him to slide, and he won't slide. And then he did also have one against the Dolphins last year where he threw a pick six to a dropping defensive tackle. And that wasn't the truly stupid part. I mean, that was bad to throw a pick six to a defensive tackle inside the 10-yard line, your own 10-yard line. But once the defensive tackle had entered the end zone, Levis, out of frustration, lowered his shoulder and rammed into him, which is also comically stupid. So there were hints of it, but no, not as embarrassingly bad as, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to flick the ball. But I also wonder how much Tim Kelly and Mike Vrabel didn't let him do that. Because if you'll remember, a lot of these guys have gotten up there and talked about how this coaching staff allows them freedom. Levis specifically has said that. And I do wonder if they, you know, really handcuffed Levis a lot last year, saying, hey, no, we're not even going to give you the opportunity to do stuff like that.
All right, you can come for one more segment.
Sure.
I've got Grant from Nashville with a very good question for you on the text line. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex are 1025, 1063 The Game. Size matters with this week's Nashville's Best Deal. This week it's Daddy's Dogs, Nashville's biggest and best gourmet hot dogs. Whether you're taking your office lunch to the next level or saving your life on the late night streets of Broadway, you can't go bigger or better than Daddy's Dogs. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get a $25 gift card for half price while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. 1025-106 for The Game. Robbie's out sick. We've got Jared Stillman for one more segment here. Listen, I want to get back to the time, but I got to say, Jared, there's some people upset with you, and they're making some good points.
The Bryce Young stuff?
Well, no, the Burrow stuff. I got an LSU fan, Tony from Smyrna. So he's saying, so you're saying a QB wins regardless of play calling? As an LSU fan, Burrow was good his junior year. I don't know if you remember, Jared, but he did play his junior year, and he was like, yeah, he's pretty good. He was good with mediocre play calling. He was great after they brought Joe Brady into work with a passing game. Look at Burrow's stats in 2018, then 2019, and say, coach, doesn't matter. Kyle Tucker, following up with this, let me read you some stats from Joe Burrow. So his first year as a starter, 57.8% completion, 28-94, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks. Brady comes in 76.3%, 56-71, 60 touchdowns, 6 picks. Also, he was thrown to the number 5 pick at receiver, the number 22 pick at receiver, the number 59 pick at receiver. He had the number 32 pick at running back, and he had offensive linemen who were the number 69, 83, and 108 picks. Joe Brady, Jared, I understand that it hasn't gone well for him since then. There's not a single person who covers college football or knows college football from then who would say anything, but that guy absolutely saved Ed Orgeron in that program, and he turned Joe Burrow into a great player. Joe Burrow is a great player, but you talk about situation proof. These people all depend on other people. And you dismissing what Joe Brady did with LSU along with all that other talent and trying to put it all on Burrow is just poor judgment. I'm sorry.
So I don't understand this. So Burrow should thank Joe Brady for his success. But then when they left LSU, Joe Brady sucked and Joe Burrow was great.
Right, again, Jared.
Okay.
So everything I just said to you, and that's your response. This is why arguing with you is very frustrating. Yes, Joe Brady, absolutely. I just read you what Burrow did before Brady,
right?
And then I read you what he did with Brady and all that other talent, right?
So Burrow's first year
because,
starter in college football.
Because
he wasn't as good with the old guy that Emsinger or whatever his name was as the play caller.
Right. I mean, you tried to put it on Ed Orgeron. Like, you earlier were like, "Why well, look Ed Orgeron.
Joe Burrow carried that entire organization. And then they were terrible when Joe Burrow left. And then Joe Burrow went to the place that has been comically terrible ever since I've been a football fan. The first game I ever went to was the first ever Titans game. They won 36-35 on an Al Del Greco field goal against Jeff Blake and the Bengals. They had a nice little run there for a second with Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton where they didn't win any playoff games. But they were, for the most part, a laughingstock my entire life. They were the AFC version of the Lions. Joe Burrow gets there, and they're in the Super Bowl. And I'm supposed to not think that Joe Burrow is the common denominator here.
Joe Burrow's great. But again, you want to talk about some players, and like you want to talk about Mahomes, and oh, what if it wouldn't have worked out? Joe
like
Burrow,
if Mahomes had gone to the Jets, I think Mahomes would be a bust.
Okay, so but if Joe Burrow went to the Jets, no? He's carrying the whole group. That's what
if
you're
Joe
saying.
Joe Burrow had been drafted by the Jets, I think Joe Burrow could carry the Jets.
And by the way, you're saying Joe Brady, quote, sucks. Yeah, he went to the Panthers. That's quite an organization, and it did not work out. I mean, I think there's probably a reason the Bills hired him to be OC, and by the way, things look okay for them right now. I don't know. Why would the Bills hire a guy who sucks as their offensive coordinator, and why are they playing well now? Is it Joe Burrow's effect on Joe Brady? Is there still some sort of like residue there? I mean, again, you love to you got to go black and white with everything, right?
Joe Brady had been
to support your faulty arguments.
Joe Brady had been unable to get an offensive coordinator job because he bombed out so bad
in Carolina. Yeah,
he had to be the quarterback's coach, and then when Ken Dorsey got fired, they elevated him up.
Yep, and so then and now
he had to, right, so he had to take a peg down because he stunk so bad.
Okay, and he's the OC of the Bills now, I think, right? So they decided to hire him and go full-time with him as their OC this year, and it's going well. I just want to make sure that's on the record because according to you, quote, he stinks. Now let's get back to the Titans real quick. Because I do have a question that I think is fair for you from Grant, who says, Jared said September football is weird 1,000 times last year, but won't apply that reasoning to the Titans' slow start. Youngest O-line in the league, brand new coach, brand new system. What say you about this, Jared?
Well, I think that September football is weird from the standpoint that let's take a team like the Saints. We don't know if the Saints are good or not, or if, you know, they beat up on Carolina, who we think is probably pretty bad, and they smoked Dallas, and maybe Clint Kubiak is the Joe Brady of the New Orleans Saints and that Derek Carr is, you know, a changed man with him at quarterback, or maybe the Saints had two really good games, and maybe Dallas, after beating Cleveland, they thought that their poop didn't smell, and they went out there and thought they could roll the ball out against the Saints, and it didn't work. Those things we don't know, but stupid is stupid. And what Will Levis has done through 2 weeks, stupid. And the throws that Will Levis hasn't made, like it's not like all of a sudden, oh, now Will Levis is going to start anticipating throws and throwing guys open. That doesn't change. When I say September football's weird, I mean that a team early on in the season that's kind of looking for its footing could lose a game, like Brady's Patriots would lose in September. That's possible. But what we've seen out of the Titans is incompetence at the quarterback position, and there's a big difference. The Titans would be 2-0 if Mason Rudolph were the quarterback. The Titans would be 2-0 if Ryan Tannehill were the quarterback. That doesn't mean that I think the Titans are Super Bowl contenders at 2-0. But what we've seen through 2 weeks with the quarterback is that the quarterback, when push comes to shove, he's not going to make the right decision, and he's not going to change. And that, to me, is not weird. That is reality.
Okay. Well, I agree on the stupid plays. I didn't read Bedingfield's, not anticipating throws. He's saying across the board through the game, because I thought the throw on the wheel, for example, to Pollard was a great throw. There was a throw.
I thought that was a dangerous throw. I thought that was a throw that a veteran quarterback would be ashamed of making.
Well, they don't,
because
people
almost
don't
send him to the hospital.
But that doesn't happen in the league. That's what Brady's talked about. I mean, that's the thing. Those throws now, you can get away with those because guys know they can't blow guys up on those.
I mean, Blake Bedingfield wrote that Will Levis reminds him of Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, look, I'm not sitting here saying it's encouraging with Will Levis, and certainly the play in each game, it's just those are absurd things that can never happen again. I will say I do agree with Brian Callahan in terms of just his overall play improving, and I think all three deep balls – were good throws.
But you need to have a conversation with D. Mace, because D. Mace does not feel that way.
Yeah, and I heard him. I heard what he said. And I don't disagree with him that you could have been a better throw to Burks. But when it comes down to it, you gave your guy a chance to make a play, and I think Burks should have made that play. I'll just disagree with D. Mace on that. I don't disagree with him that if you lead there and the throw isn't back shoulder, then obviously it's even better, right? I mean, he had a step, but – yeah, that's a play that player in particular, a big part of why he was drafted where he was is that he's a big physical guy who should win way more than his share of 50-50 balls, and he doesn't win them.
So here's what Blake wrote at paulkaharski.com. The issue with Levis is the lack of anticipation on his throws. On third down with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter, he waited for Tyler Boyd to run to his spot, pass the sticks, turn around before he released the ball. That allowed the defensive back to easily break up the pass and force a punt. Another pass that I questioned was the deep shot to Treylon Burks. The Titans wanted an explosive play right after Levis' fumble cost the team 3 points on the offensive play before, but instead of forcing the ball into double coverage to Burks, which resulted in an interception, Levis had Calvin Ridley wide open 20 yards underneath the route of Burks.
Man.
Levis tries to do too much at times instead of taking what is there. He throws too often to predetermined areas, whether they are open or not. An example is the pass to Boyd, who is blanketed by the defender so well that the pass hit the defensive back in the back of the head. This was another example of a predetermined pass to a cover receiver. Will the after effects and the accumulation of negative plays by the Titans quarterback, will he play more cautiously and take more sacks? Will he stop taking deep shots downfield or force more throws where he waits for the receiver to turn and be looking at him before he throws? That would cause major regression in his ability.
So I got to say, most of that's fine, and Blake's great. I'm a Blake Bedingfield fan, but let me tell you, I don't think Brian Callahan was lying when he said the play was to Burks, he made the right read, he should have thrown the ball. Like, the fact that someone else is wide open as a secondary option, if the first read is there and you throw to the first read, is completely irrelevant. Like, I mean, he saw the first read and he threw it. And I would tend to agree with Brian Callahan. It wasn't double coverage. The safety came over, but he wasn't bracketed. He wasn't doubled. Yeah, I disagree with that assessment, but the other stuff's fine. I mean, look, it's not good, okay? We can all agree it's not good. It's got to get better. I'm not sitting here saying I know how things will turn out. I know that you take a small sample size of something, and then all of a sudden it is absolutely fact beyond reproach, and you know how things are going to go. But let me ask you this, Jared. At what point are you then sitting Will Levis, or are you just giving him this season or most of this season because that's what this season's about?
So my thought is, if you lose to Malik on Sunday, then we got to have a conversation as a group. Like, we got to sit down and we got to say, okay, you're 0-3 and you just lost to Malik Willis. The season is over, because even if Mason Rudolph is the quarterback, how many games does Mason Rudolph win you, you know, when you're already in a three-game hole and there are still good quarterbacks to play on the schedule and things like that? You know, you still got to go to Detroit. You still got to go to Buffalo. You still got to play Houston twice. And, like, Mason Rudolph ain't winning those games. So, at that point, do you embrace tanking and just saying, you know what, let's just, whatever happens, happens, and then just suck it up and deal with Levis for the entire year? Or what? And again, those are discussions that have to have, that I think we have to have after they lose, you know, if they lose on Sunday to Malik. So, again, you're asking me to say, you know, when's the moment? I don't know. You know, Derek's talked about how at some point Brian Callahan, if he stays behind Levis and this keeps happening, is going to lose the locker room, and I do think that Derek would have a better sense of that than I would. And I don't think Brian Callahan can afford to lose the locker room, but, I mean, hey, that's what they did in Cincinnati. They didn't think they were going to be bad when they got there. Andy Dalton was not a worst pick in the league quarterback, and A.J. Green got hurt because celebrating the NFL's 100th season, they had a practice at some high school in Ohio, like at the oldest football field ever, and it was a bad field, and A.J. Green got hurt, and so they started off poorly. And if you'll remember what Cincinnati did, they benched Andy Dalton to put Ryan Finley in there. And they can say it was to see what they had in Ryan Finley, but you know why they put Ryan Finley in there. So if you're the Titans and you start off poorly and you realize Levis isn't the guy, do you go get a Ryan Finley to put in there so that you make sure you're picking number one? I don't know. But those are the discussions I think that have to be had if they lose on Sunday to Malik. But I don't think they're going to lose on Sunday to Malik. I think they're going to win. But that's where I sit right now.
All right, Tank Talk with Jared. Jared, thank you for going extra with us. I want you to have a good pregame show Sunday. Enjoy the game.
So I don't get to be a part of the rant?
You want to be part of the rant?
Not really.
If you have a rant, I will let you have the rant today.
I got plenty of time to rant on my own, but I look forward to listening to your rant.
Okay, you've given me many options. Thank you, Jared Stillman. We'll be back. Robbie and Rex show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Okay, did I say Rex Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Well, I guess it's that time of week, time for the Rex Rant. Thank you for that Scott Stapp moment there, Nick Kieser. Always always great to hear his voice botching my name. Robbie is out sick today, by the way. Nick Kieser producing, intern Robert here. We do thank Jared Stillman for doing three segments with us today, but I do have to follow up. I guess this is basically me getting the last word. I don't have to have Jared.
Without him being here. Good job.
Without him interrupting me, and then, my goodness, can that guy bloviate? Hey, again, like I say, I could never do what Jared does. He goes on his show for 4 hours a day and by himself, and, you know, Ian, of course, producing, and Ian chips in, but Jared talks and talks and talks. I could never do it. Tip of the cap. Genuinely, tip of the cap. But like his argument here, again, it's a great example of, you know, deciding to, it must be binary. So it must be that this guy is this and then this guy is that. So, well, to support my faulty argument that Joe Burrow is actually a situation-proof quarterback, whereas Patrick Mahomes isn't. That is what Jared said today. So Jared, you know, then backpedaled, as people on the text line said. I said, well, now with their finished products, okay, I'd take Mahomes. But still, when it comes down to it, what Jared did was he said that Joe Burrow is a guy who's so good that he could go into any situation and save it. But Patrick Mahomes was dependent on Andy Reid to create him as a quarterback with that year of sitting.
Right.
It's just a really bad take. Just a really, really bad take. And again, the way he has to support it is Joe Brady stinks. You know, Joe Brady did not have a good run. He went to LSU. I mean, look, this is a guy who really, when he got to LSU in 2019, I mean, he was a very young guy. He had just been, you know, he was like a grad at Penn State, and then he was one of the QC guys basically with the Saints. He was in town. You know, Orgeron took a shot on him. He comes in, and he absolutely did an incredible job and became a quick star of football in 2019. And, yes, what LSU did offensively, schematically that year, was a huge part of Joe Burrow's success. To repeat, Joe Burrow, the year before, Joe Burrow couldn't start at Ohio State. I mean, look, I would look back and say maybe Ohio State might want to revisit that. But the bottom line is, he moved on. He went to LSU. He was good in 2018. He completed 57.8% of his passes, 2,894 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 picks. He was good. It was like, okay, going into the 2019 season, Joe Burrow was not expected to be at the top of the 2020 draft. He was a prospect, but he was far from a lock, far from a first-round lock. He gets into the air. I'll say the numbers again. 76.3%. 5,671 yards, 60 touchdowns, 6 picks. And again, I thank you, Kyle Tucker, for sending me this, buddy. The receivers, number 5, number 22, number 59 in the draft. The running back, number 32 in the draft. 3 offensive linemen in the top 108 picks, 69, 83, 108. Incredible talent, incredible scheming by Joe Brady, and absolutely incredible quarterback play. Joe Burrow's great. This is not an argument against that. But Jared, by saying he's situation-proof and Patrick Mahomes isn't, it really is an incredibly bad take by Jared. And I appreciate that because it gave me something to rant about today.
Yeah, and I think it's a very valid thing to rant about because can Joe Burrow still lead them to success now? I think last week was putting in the, you know, I think it proof was in the pudding last week, excuse me, that it still was not possible for him to lead them to victory. I mean, they got close from, you know, closer from what I kind of thought that they would last week, Joe, but I think for Burrow, I think he still has more to prove, honestly. He's a great quarterback, but I think that with even their losses, they have a little more to prove, and I think they have to build around him still. And also, he is coming off an injury, which he says it doesn't bother him. I'm not really sold on it, to be honest with you. But he just has to continue to showcase himself and get better, honestly.
Yeah, Joe Burrow's a great player. I mean, Joe Burrow's a great player, okay? I mean, no one's disputing that, but I would – if I had any situation, and again, you know, Jared tried to now or back then, in any situation you want, I'm watching Patrick Mahomes with a bad offensive line too, by the way. I mean, his offensive line play isn't good. He just won a Super Bowl with okay offensive line play and aging Kelsey and no stars at receiver. Rashee Rice is a good player. They had a great defense last year. All these guys are dependent on other people to some extent. But in any situation, 100 out of 100, I will take my chances with Patrick Mahomes over Joe Burrow. And Joe Brady does not stink. He did not have success at Carolina. That's a kind of a common theme in the NFL. People not having success in Carolina. It's a freaking bleep show. He goes to Buffalo. Yes, Jared is right. He had to downgrade to QB coach for Josh Allen. They fired their OC last year. They had issues. They elevated him. They could have gone any other direction this offseason. They could have gone any way they wanted and gone and gotten somebody else. They made Joe Brady the OC with the Buffalo Bills. We'll see how he does. So far, it's going pretty well. When we come back, Teron Davenport. I got to ask that question of him, by the way, the Burrow Mahomes take of Jared. And, of course, we'll get into the Titans, Packers coming up. Robbie Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.